Just going to bring the youth in, so I don't want to start until they come in, really, to be fair. I don't want them to miss anything. Let's get myself organised. I speak Jesus. Such a powerful song, that, isn't it? You know, when you're going through stuff, if you can't pray, you can pray Jesus, can't you? You can just say, Jesus, Jesus, and it works. I've seen it work so many times. You might be wondering what this string is about, but I'll tell you later. It won't be long now. I have got a time, Mike. Thank you for reminding me. I need my hands free today, so I'm going to swap over. Won't be a minute. Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. Ooh, a bit echoing. Is everybody in? We missing anybody? Is that everybody? We've got Will to come in yet, haven't we? And Sue. We'll wait for them. Has anyone seen any daffodils this week? Yes. They're everywhere, aren't they? Beautiful. I sound really echoey. No, I've switched it off. Pardon? It's not recording. What? Speak away. It's not recording me. Do you want me to do it on this one? Okay. Never mind. I might just take this one off now then. It was getting on my nerves in my pocket. Oh, here they all are. Okay. Just wait for Sue to come back. Sorry, folks, keeping you waiting. It's an important message, and I don't want anybody to miss out. It's not fair. I don't think. But I do get to look at all your lovely faces, smiling at me and encouraging me. That's really nice. Stop laughing, Val. I hope she's not gone to make a brew. Can you imagine? We're all sat here waiting for her and she's gone to make a brew. Oh, I'll just have a quick brew while I'm if you want a water, now's the time. Go and grab a water quick while we're waiting. No, I'm all right, actually. Thank you, Mike. The flowers look a bit droop. Well, they shouldn't droop. They're not real, are they? Oh, here she is. Who's waiting for you, Sue? I didn't want to start. I know. We did say we wondered if you'd gone to make a brew or something, you know, it was like... And then Adrian's disappeared, so we'll wait for Adrian and Teresa to come. Here they are, they're all back now. And Teresa will be here in a minute, I'm sure. She's gone to get a water. She'll be back in a second, I'm sure. We're just saying, Sue, we didn't want anyone to miss this because it's an important... You're welcome. I love you. Here she is. Right. Okay, let's begin. So, last week, Katie Ann introduced you to the four cups, and I'm going to carry on that. So, over the course of this year, our hope as a leadership team is that we are all going to continue growing together. And to do this, we're going to encourage us all to take a really good look at our own personal spiritual walk. So how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to be studying a book called Four Cups by Pastor Chris Hodges after Easter. And we heard Pastor Chris speak at an AOG leaders conference a few years back, and we were all really appreciated what he shared. It encouraged us as a leadership team, and it fell in line with our vision for church. You know, Pastor Chris founded the Church of the Highlands back in 2001 in America, and it became a thriving, successful church, making a massive difference in their community. So I hope that gives you confidence in what we will be exploring and studying together. So last week, Katie Anne gave us an overview of the book and looked at the first cup, or stage as we're going to call them, knowing God. And if you missed it, the recording is on our website and I would encourage you to listen to it. Unfortunately, you can't miss a stage out. You can't just dip in and out. To move forward in all four stages, you need to have covered them all. So go back and have a listen if you weren't here last week. But as a reminder, the four key stages are based on four promises God made to the Israelites while they were in slavery in Egypt. And that can be found in Exodus 8, verses 6 to 8. And I'm not going to read that out. I think it might come up at the back here. But you can go away and have a look at that. But what I am going to talk about is the four stages. So stage one is know God. And that's based on the promise, I will bring you out. And this stage really represents salvation, knowing God personally, being brought out from this world and set apart for God's purposes. Knowing God is only the start of your journeys, and it's important that we move on from this stage if we're going to have a fulfilled Christian life. Stage two, get free, is based on the promise, I will deliver you or rescue you. And this stage focuses on emotional and spiritual freedom, specifically being delivered from the bondage of past hurts, habits, or hang-ups. And bondage simply means being tied up, unable to escape. And is that you? Are you unable to escape from your past hurts, your habits, and hang-ups? Well, today I'm going to look in more detail at this stage. But before I do that, let's just remind ourselves of the last two stages. Stage three is find purpose, and this is based on the promise, I will redeem you. This is the stage of discovering your unique purpose. It involves finding how God wants to use your specific life story, because we've all got our own individual life stories, and your gifts to make a difference in the lives of those around you. And stage four, make a difference, is based on the promise, I will take you as my people. And this final stage is about fulfillment and community. It represents joining a spiritual family, church, and living a life of joyful impact and praise. And that just means creating positive, meaningful, and lasting change through a mindset or an action rooted in joy. Because you are filled with joy, you are then inspired to go and make a difference, and all the time giving glory to God. What a way to live, eh? That's how I want to live my life. In the book, Pastor Chris encourages believers to move beyond just salvation towards total deliverance and active ministry, and that's our hearts for you and for ourselves. So let's go back to stage two, get free. This represents the second stage of spiritual growth, moving from being saved to being free. And whilst the first cup or stage, knowing God, is about your destination, getting to heaven, getting free is about your internal transformation. We've got a lot of living to do before we get to heaven, haven't we? And God wants that to be fruitful and joyous for all of us. He doesn't want it to be a constant grind full of hurt and bitterness. In John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in full. I don't know about you, but I want this life on earth to be lived with as much joy and peace as possible. I don't want to be filled with hurt and bitterness and angst. In stage one, our salvation is something that God does for us. But in stage two, getting free, this is something God does in us rather than for us. He changes us from the inside out, and it's based on God's second promise in Exodus 6, verse 6, I will deliver you from your bondage. Now, in the book, Pastor Chris argues that many Christians are stuck in the second promise. They've been brought out of Egypt, they've been saved, but they still have Egypt in them. They still have a slave mentality. Getting free is about healing from past hurts, habits, and hang-ups. All of us have history that has the ability to hold us back. And trying to break free from this on our own is extremely hard. Pastor Chris emphasizes that one of the best ways to get free from past hurts, habits, and hang-ups is often in small groups with people who you trust. It's being honest with your church family. And I'm going to demonstrate this, and I've asked for some friends to come up and help me. I just want to move this over here. So, Tanny, can you come up, please, first of all? So bear with me. I'm just going to tie Tanny up. So, for those that are listening online, I've just tied Tanny's hands up with some rope. She's got a lovely little bow in each hand. And I'm representing all of Tanny's past hurts, past hang-ups, past habits, everything. Tanny, I want you to walk forward, please, because you know you want to get free from all of this. So you're moving forward in Christ. So just walk forward. Okay, stop. The bows are coming undone. They're not meant to come undone. But the idea is that she can't break free from her past hurts by herself because her hands are tied and she needs some help. So I'm going to ask Katie Ann and Rukia. Now, these are going to represent a church family. And they're going to come alongside Tanny and they're going to say, "Did you know what? I know some of these past hurts and hang-ups that you're dealing with. I've had these past hurts and I've dealt with them in my life and I know how you can break free of them." So if you can just help Tanny to untie those for me, please. Right, Tanny, can you walk free now back to your chair? Yeah. Go on then. Amen. And I just wanted to demonstrate how important it is, church, how important church family is. Just move this back. It's okay. I've had my Weetabix. It's fine. We can't do it on our own. We need our church family. All of us, all these four stages that I'm going a bit off piece here now, but all these four stages that we go through, every single one of us in this room will be at different parts of our journey. We'll be at different parts in each stage of our journey. And that's why it's important that we encourage one another and share with one another, because we can't do it in our own strength and we can't get that support out there. It's only among your own church family that you should get that encouragement. It's really important, really, really important. The role of community or discipleship is so important in providing accountability and encouragement. And in James 5, verse 16, it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Pastor Chris explains in the book that you cannot fully reach the third stage of finding your purpose until you have dealt with the stuff that's holding you back in the second stage. And there are three main areas that keep you in stage two. One is unfulfilled expectations. Two is unrelenting doubt. And three is unchangeable circumstances. So let's take a closer look at these and how they impact us. So let's look first of all at unfulfilled expectations. And that's not getting the answers from God that you expected. We all have or will have had times in our lives where God doesn't answer us the way we expect. Just take a minute right now to think about a time where you didn't get the answer you wanted. How did it leave you feeling? Empty? Hurting? Like you aren't good enough for God to answer your prayers? Confused and doubting? If God hears all prayers, why hasn't he answered mine? Times like these can shatter our hope for a different outcome. Or they can tempt us to believe God isn't even listening to us. Then, when we start thinking God isn't listening, we can be tempted to take action into our own hands. Let's take the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar out of Genesis 16. So Abraham and Sarah were promised a child by God, but they struggled with infertility for years and years. And in the end, believing that God had forgotten his promise, Sarah offered her Egyptian servant Hagar to Abraham to conceive and heir. Sorry, to conceive and heir. After Hagar gave birth to a son they named Ishmael, conflict ensued, leading Hagar to run away into the wilderness. It was only when she was told to return to Sarah and Abraham by an angel that she eventually returned. Now, years later, Sarah did actually give birth to Isaac, the child that God had promised, but that again led to jealousy over the two sons and the eventual banishment of Hagar and Ishmael. All that strife and bitterness and hurt could have been avoided if Sarah and Abraham had just trusted God's timing. God continued to protect all the parties and he worked out his plans anyway. But man, did Sarah and Abraham make it hard work for him, causing strife and upset along the way. If they had just waited for God's promised child, they would have avoided all that conflict. Our way is never as good as God's way. So, if you've been praying over a situation or an area of your life and not had the answers you expected, hold in there. Keep trusting God for his best outcome for you. And Sylvia's already shared something along those lines this morning, so... The next thing, unrelenting doubt, is another thing that can keep you in stage two. We all battle doubt at some point or other. Have you ever thought, oh, I'm not good enough? Or, oh, God's not going to do that for me. Or, oh, man, I've messed up too many times. How can I ever be like them? Past experiences can shape and feed our doubts. Childhood memories, relationship hurts. Hurtful comments and behaviour that planted seeds of doubt in you. And they still have the power to hurt even now when they're thought about. I know every time God has nudged me to step out of my boat, I've been filled, and I mean filled, with doubt. The very first time Jackie Bowler asked me to bring a word to a ladies' event, oh my gosh, I was filled with dread and self-doubt because I didn't think I had the knowledge to do that. I hadn't been to Bible college. I had very little experience in public speaking. And I looked at all those other men and women I heard speak and I thought, I cannot do that. But you know, God just wants our obedience. And when I prayed into it, God gave me a vision for my talk and a passion to share it. He equipped me with the words to speak. Did I shake in my boots getting up? Of course I did. I felt overwhelmed with nerves. But as I started to speak, God washed them away. And sometimes we just have to step out and trust God to take our hand. When Mark asked me to take on CAP, I wanted to run a million miles in the other direction. Everything in me said, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. But Mark could see something in me that I didn't. And sometimes we have to trust those around us that see qualities in us that we don't. Then I had to trust God again. So I prayed, I explored, I tried. And 16 years later, I've had the privilege of serving God, my church family, and our community, and I've been so blessed in all of it. But if I'd run the other way and not been obedient, I'd have missed out on all of that because of the doubts that filled me. So how do we battle our doubts? Well, we do that by, one, quoting scriptures to ourselves. Two, remembering that we are spirit-led. And three, trusting God's promises of who we are and what he wants us to be. And I'm going to share some of them with you now. I am loved. I am a child of God. God never leaves me. God provides for me. God will strengthen me when I am weak. God is in control. God has a plan and purpose for my life. These are just a few of his promises. At home, quoting scripture can replace negative thoughts with positive, powerful promises. Singing worship songs can encourage our hearts and our spirits and our prayers and determination. At church, speak to someone you trust to get encouragement and to tell you the truth. Iron sharpens iron. Accountability, being honest, because then you are saying to God, I am scared, but I want to grow. and I don't want to be held back by my doubts. Trust God and find someone you can trust within your church family. Another thing that can keep us in stage two is unchangeable circumstances. Believing our lives can never change. Believing we are stuck where we are. That it's too late to change. When we lose our hope for something to happen, it can make us stop believing. I remember the time Ray and I first moved back up here from Luton. I'm going back many years now. And Ray was promised a job that didn't materialise. We had moved up with all hope of buying a house and starting our life together. But no job meant no mortgage, meant no house. He then went through a time where there was just no sign of work and every job offer wasn't what it seemed. And I can remember crying out to God, why? And believing in my heart that everything was going to fall apart, that this was the end. Ray was so close to moving back down to Luton and calling it a day. For months and months, our circumstances didn't change. Our hope died. We were stuck in misery. There was no freedom and there was no joy. I couldn't see past our unchanging circumstances. Now, I didn't know God back then like I do now. I believed in him, but I didn't trust him. And I certainly wasn't in church. And looking back, I needed a Christian friend to encourage me, to remind me of God's promises. This too will pass. If you are in circumstances that seem unchangeable, focus on God's promises. Mine and Ray's circumstances, of course, they did change for the better. We just had to see it through. And writing this, I was reminded of the years that Mark and Sue and Jed and I spent praying for a new church leader, not seeing anyone in church that would be able to take on the role from Mark. There didn't seem a way forward for years, but, and it's a big but, and I've put it in capital letters, we knew God's promises, that he would provide and equip. So we leant in and we continued to pray and trust that God would provide, and he did. We now have the lovely Katie Ann and a lovely husband Craig willing and ready to take us into our next however many years. Amen? God worked. Being in unchanging circumstances can be horrible and it can mess with our thoughts and bring us close to moving away from God. But again, remembering God's promises and sharing your concerns with someone you can trust in church enables us to focus on today, to let go of tomorrow, to trust God with his timing and live with a peace that only God can bring. So to conclude, to be completely free, we have to let go of all our past hurts, all of our doubts and completely trust in God's promises, no matter what our circumstances are saying to us. God not only had to rescue his people from bondage in Egypt, but he also had to free them from a slavery mindset. And it's the same for us. Addictions, bad habits, hurtful behaviours, doubts, they can all keep us stuck in bondage and as a slave to these things. God breaks all of that and promises to reach down and pick us up again. We have to believe that we are loved, that we belong, and that we have a part to play in a like-minded community. Sorry, I read that wrong. And we have to be a part of a like-minded community that knows and loves God and wants us to serve him. We have to encourage each other and be honest with each other always. Then we will grow together. And if we can master this, then we will flourish as a church family and we will become strong enough to move on through the stages and make a massive impact on our community out there. And we'll continue to look at this over the next coming weeks. And next week, we're going to look at the third stage, which is finding your purpose, I think. Yeah, finding purpose. So I'm going to pray with you now. So if you just close your eyes. Father God, you know the areas in our lives that we battle with, the things that hold us back and stop us moving into the freedom you have promised us. Lord, help us to be honest, not only with ourselves, but with each other. Help us to stand on your promises and grow together. Give us strength and courage to stand firm in unchanging circumstances. Show us who we are in you when the doubts rush in. And remind us daily that your timing is perfect and give us the peace to live today, seeking you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.